Namaste, my friends. Welcome back. Or if you're new here, welcome to the podcast. The Harmony Inspired Health Podcast brings you raw and real conversations from leaders in the industry about all things health, wellness, Ayurveda, and life. My name is Harmony, and I am your podcast host. I am an Ayurveda and integrative health practitioner who specializes in women's hormonal health, a registered nurse, and a business mentor. I'm on a mission to inspire, educate, and empower women to take charge of their health, wealth, and life. Don't forget to subscribe so that you don't miss an episode. And if you listen on iTunes, please give us a 5-star rating so the wisdom shared in these episodes can be spread far and near. Thank you so much from my soul to yours. Before we jump into this soulful episode, I want to remind you that this episode is sponsored by my accredited program, Ayurveda Alchemist. This program certifies you as an Ayurveda holistic health coach. Ayurveda Alchemist is for women who are ready to embark on an epic personal development journey, immersing themselves in the wisdom of Ayurveda, learning how to optimize their health and well-being by addressing all aspects of self, including their physical body, mental and emotional health, and spirituality, whilst wholeheartedly stepping into their dharma, their purpose. This program is also for women who would love to get started with a fulfilling career in Ayurveda, and for already established health, wellness, and life coaches who want to create greater impact by offering a holistic framework that gets their clients exceptional and holistic results. This certification is what you need to step into the high-level practitioner that you were born to be and stand out from the coaching crowd. You will experience undeniable growth personally and professionally. You will be mentored by highly qualified facilitators, guest experts, and practitioners. Spots are strictly limited. If you are ready to up-level your life and help transform the lives of others by becoming an Ayurveda alchemist, head over to www.harmonyinspiredhealth.com.au and apply today. Now, let's get into today's episode. Hello, welcome back to the Harmony Inspired Health Podcast. Or to the Ayurveda and Women's Health Sisterhood, if you're watching this live from our Facebook community. And if you're not in there, please come and join us. We love to carry on the conversations in there well after the podcast is over. So yeah, please join us there. So today we've got a really exciting topic that I am sure is going to be of interest to so many of you beautiful women and men if you're listening. And we're speaking today all about how to create the life you desire within 12 months. And to help us out on this topic is the beautiful Emma Windle, who is a corporate accountant turned successful yoga studio owner, retreat, international retreat host, Ayurveda lifestyle and wellness coach, and Lululemon ambassador. And she has transitioned from a corporate accountant to all of those beautiful, wonderful things all within 12 months and is generating such great success and happiness from everything she is doing. So she is the right person to really help us learn how we can do the same for ourselves. Emma will be sharing her story and helping you answer those tough questions on how to create the life that you desire. So I'm so excited to have you here, Emma. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, Harmony. How are you?
I'm so good. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It's really exciting to be a part of this. And even you saying that, it has just been an absolute whirlwind, amazing last year. So excited to share it with everyone.
It certainly has been a whirlwind, and I'm so excited for you. Like I cannot be more excited to share this story because I think it's so inspirational. And we always think, oh, you know, it only happens to those type of people that can do this and that and all of that. But I mean, you're one of us, Em.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, local Gold Coast girl, an Ayurveda Alchemist alumni. Like, you're truly one of us. So I'm so excited to be able to share your wisdom with us today. But as you know, I always start with my rapid inspiration questions. So can you please inspire us with what your superpower is?
Oh, my superpower. I think my superpower would be seeing the positivity in every situation. And even if it doesn't seem like such a positive situation, there's always a lesson in it, which leads to growth. So I think, yeah, that would have to be my superpower.
Beautiful. And I'm sure we'll get more into that a bit later, because I know within the 12 months, it's been a whirlwind, and I know it hasn't been without its challenges. So we will definitely get into that as well. Now, who or what is inspiring you at the moment?
I think what's inspiring me is probably the local community. So Balance Yoga Studio, my business partner and I, we opened it around 7 months ago. And yeah, we didn't anticipate to have such a community that we have now. And going into the studio, most usually on a daily basis, and seeing the people there and the feedback that they are giving me and how it's changing their lives and, you know, what they're getting from it, it's so inspiring. And makes me happy.
Absolutely. And I can vouch for that, because I go to classes there and it is an amazing community. And I also remember when you first opened, you were in a much smaller space, and like within a month or so, you had to get a huge space to fit the whole community in. So that's another exciting thing we'll touch on as well. And so what's your favorite quote or mantra?
I'd say my favorite quote would be, luck is when preparation meets opportunity. So yeah, I think even if there's, you know, something that you would like to do in the future but you can't see it happening, but prepare yourself for it, because the opportunity will come up.
Absolutely. I love that, because we can't always rely on just luck or just sitting there manifesting and wishing our way to success.
Yeah.
It really does take opportunity, inspired action, a bit of luck sometimes, a bit of positive mindset and manifestation.
And I think as well, taking one step in the direction that you want to go in, all of a sudden, you know, the path unfolds and then you find yourself creating or doing amazing things that you wouldn't have even thought of at the start. So just taking that first step and preparing yourself.
Brilliant. Well, how about we start with you sharing your journey of transitioning from an accountant to a yoga studio owner, retreat host, and Ayurveda lifestyle and wellness coach, and what inspired you to make these bold career shifts?
Yeah, so I think for me, I started off in the accounting world to get a sensible job. But it was never, I was never super passionate about it. Like, I always worked with nice people and, you know, I'm really grateful for the opportunities and the skill set that I learned, but there was something always missing. And I think for me, it was finding what, and as corny and as buzzword as it sounds, is finding what I was passionate about. And I started practicing yoga on a daily basis probably just before COVID. Prior to that, I'd kind of sporadically done a bit of yoga and always liked it, a couple of retreats. But I started practicing daily. And then from that, I decided to do my yoga teacher training. And the reason I wanted to do that was not to become a yoga teacher. It was just to deepen my practice, because I was so passionate about this thing that was yoga and I wanted to learn more and, yeah, really dive into it. So I did my yoga teacher training, which then I discovered I actually loved teaching. So for quite a while, I was only teaching friends and, yeah, loving that. But, you know, couldn't really see owning a studio or that happening until I met my business partner, who I was helping her with accounting advice, funnily enough. And we decided to open Balance Yoga Studios. And then from that, around a similar time, I was doing the Ayurveda Alchemist with you. And absolutely loving that and the connections that it had to yoga as well. Started doing the cleanses and the coaching from that. And then now, a month ago, I got asked to be Lululemon ambassador, which was an absolute dream. And I was thinking about it before, which is quite funny. When I was living in England, it was about 10 years ago, I was actually applying for accounting jobs at Lululemon. And wasn't successful. It was their first store in London and Covent Garden. I was thinking, isn't it funny how things come around? And, you know, maybe I was planting the seeds back then.
Absolutely. And I think that's really important to note. Like, you have achieved all of this within 12 months, but if you actually look at when maybe perhaps Universal seeds were planted, that's 10 years ago that you applied for a job. You had that connection to Lululemon and you had that will and desire to be part of that community. And just by applying and connecting to that community 10 years ago, it's come full circle, and even better than doing accounting, you're now their ambassador. So
amazing. You're working alongside them, which is it's really cool. And then also with the retreats, with everything's kind of just happened organically and happened quite easily. So we're off to Bali in 2 weeks to host our first retreat, and they're actually going to Central America over Christmas time to suss out a spot for our retreat next year. So I mean, if you look at that, we went back to the start of a year ago and said, okay, this is what you're going to be doing, that would be quite overwhelming. But how it's happened and how it's just, broken down in chunks and slowly one thing's led to another, it's just unfolded smoothly. And it's, like I said before, it's that taking that first step and then the pathway unfolds. And, you hear people say that, and I used to hear people say this, and I'd be like, oh, find your passion, it'll all unfold, take one step. And I'm like, I don't know if that's real, but it actually is. And can be done.
Absolutely. And I even remember when you first were opening your studio, like the hesitation there, and there was like, I should do it, should I not? I'm like, it looked great on paper and I was like, just go for it. And there was so much I guess hesitation. And that was, like you said, only 7 months ago. And within that 7 months, how quickly things have unfolded, because I truly believe what is meant for you will happen for you, and you may get in your own way and it may take a lot longer to manifest. But if you stay true to your dharmic path, if you stay true to what you are here to do in this world, then it will unfold for you. And I feel that we can sometimes slow down the process by getting in our own way more often than not.
Yeah. And I think as well, like, there's been a lot of opportunities that have come up, and that, old me, let's say, would have seen some of these opportunities and been like, no, I'm not ready for that. Whereas I've just allowed myself to be open and be like, right, let's do it. It might not be perfect, but let's give it a go and see. And, things aren't necessarily perfect, but they usually work out really well and lead to other opportunities. So I think it's, allowing yourself to be open to that too.
Absolutely. So I'm sure there's a few people listening perhaps that often we can realize what we don't want before we can actually say what we do want. We're so good at being like, oh, I don't want this, I don't want to do that, this sucks, I hate my job, or whatever it might be in your life. But when you go, well, actually, what do you really want? You're like, oh, well, what do I really want? I know what I don't want, but they can't articulate what they actually truly want because they haven't given themselves the space to really think about it without letting their fears come in to say, oh, you could never do that anyway. So how do you identify or even know what kind of life you want to live? Like, how do you start to identify? Are your passions just passions that should be hobbies and just create joy in your life for you? Or are you identifying something deeper there where you're becoming of service and following this dharmic path of having this life that you desire, and that is implemented in your career choice or your business choice?
Yeah. So I think, knowing what you don't want is important, and that's a good thing. But if you get caught up in that, to me, it's, you're looking for a bit of a negative mind space. It's what you don't want. And someone saying to you, just find your passion, like, that can be so overwhelming and so daunting. So the advice that I would give, how it unfolded for me, was taking note of, in different scenarios, what felt really good. So what things was I doing where I walked away and I felt really energized and, empowered and content? And then what situations was I feeling a bit different? I walked away maybe feeling a little bit depleted and not so great. So following the path, figuring out what makes you feel really good. So for me, it was obviously yoga, and then starting to just move in that direction. And like I was saying before, it's bizarre and it's amazing how opportunities unfold, and the, you take one step and then, the next one will present itself. And I think as well, sitting there, if it's like, okay, what is this future life that I want? don't get overwhelmed by, you know, thinking it's too big, it's too hard. How can you break it down? Actually, it was a really good book that you recommended for me. Was it one about focus? I can't remember the title of it.
The One Thing.
That's it. Yeah. And so it's, what is the one thing you can do today to get you to you to your future goal? And you might not even know what that future goal is, but you know, you may have some things that you're like, okay, I want to live by the beach because that makes me feel great, or you know, I love helping people. So it's not necessarily seeing the end goal, but it's, you know, figuring out what can you do today, what makes you feel good, and then starting in that direction. And yeah, that's how it seemed to unfold for me.
Absolutely. And I do think, you know, we have such a tendency to rush forward in life and see these big future visions, which is fantastic and great, but they can become really overwhelming. And that's when we let that self-doubt come in and say, oh my gosh, like that vision is so big, as if I could ever get there. But when you start to slowly break it down and just take one step at a time, as you mentioned, doors unfold, connections happen. Like there might be somebody that you're going to meet in 3 months that is going to change your life.
Yeah,
in a really positive way, but you don't know that until you start making these small little steps.
Absolutely. And the other thing as well is I wouldn't recommend just chucking in what your day job is now or what you do now to throw yourself into something, because then I feel like you're acting from a different place. It's all of a sudden, it's not let's create this beautiful passion, it's oh no, I need to make this amount of money to you know, be able to eat and pay my mortgage or rent, whatever it might be. So, you know, just really maybe having to sacrifice some other things in your life. Maybe you have to work two jobs for once or at one time, or, you know, your normal job while you're transitioning into this new life. So sometimes you do have to make some sacrifices, but I think it's a lot better to do it that way than, you know, chucking in this, you know, old 9 to 5, whatever it might be, to jump into this big, big picture goal that you have.
Absolutely. I wholeheartedly agree with that. And that's what I advise my students and the women that I mentor as well in business, because it even took me, like, it was a 6-year transition. So I've been nursing. I'm a clinical nurse for, is it like 18 or so years now? And I was doing my business alongside that for the last 6 or maybe even 7 years now. It was probably 7 years, but I've been full-time in my business for 18 months to 2 years. God, I don't even know my dates. But I know it took me about 6 years to transition from my nursing job, cutting down shifts and hours slowly and slowly over a 6-year period to get to be at this stage where I'm working full-time in my business. And it really helped in the sense that there wasn't that, like you said, that financial pressure to make it work just for the money. I could really make it work for the reason I wanted it to work in the first place, and that's to really inspire and educate women in women's health and Ayurveda. And I think when you can come from that place, your success will be inevitable anyway.
And absolutely,
there's no rush to the finish line, because if this is your life's work, if this is your purpose, your dharmic path, there is no end goal. There is no rush. So just take it a step at a time and show up with full compassion and empathy for yourself, for your business, and for those people that you want to serve, and take it slow and it will happen. Your success is inevitable.
Absolutely. And I think as well, like if you're, you know, you step into this new dream job, passion, whatever it is, and you're selling to people, but you're selling to them with the energy of, oh, I need to make this money because I've got bills to pay. They're going to pick up on that, you know, and so it's going in. If you can, you know you have your basic needs covered in another area, your old career, and you know you're coming from a different place, then you're actually sharing the value that they'll get from whatever it is that you're doing.
Absolutely. So, and creating the life that you desire often involves taking brave and daring steps, as we have been talking about. So what are some of the challenges that you faced during this transformation, and how did you overcome them?
Yeah, so I think for me, probably the biggest challenge was at the start, right before we'd even decided to open the studio, and I was contemplating whether it was a good idea or not. And there was a voice in me that was telling me, no, don't do it. It's too scary. You know, stick to your accounting world. That's secure and safe. But you know, growth doesn't happen from that. And if you don't take these chances, then your life's just going to stay the same. So you have to do something differently if you want to, you know, create the life that you want. Mm-hmm. So for me, what I like to do is to consider what is the worst possible thing that could happen here. So you'll remember probably quite well, I had a bit of a panic moment, a little meltdown before deciding to open it. Or actually when we had decided to open it and we're going through the process of getting things organized. But, you know, I just had to sit back, and the advice I always give myself and to my friends and family is, what is the worst possible thing that could happen? So the worst possible thing that could happen is that it fails. And what does that mean? It means I've tried, I've probably learnt a lot, maybe lost a little bit of money, but, you know, you can rebuild that. But I've given it a go. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the opposite side to that is, well, what could you achieve? And, you know, what could you make? You could make something amazing. And are you going to sit there in a couple of years saying, oh, I should have done that and I really regret it? So, you know, if the worst case scenario is really not that bad, what have you got to lose? Like a little bit of time, a little bit of money, gain a whole lot, just give it a go.
Absolutely. It's so important to look at, you know, we call them the pros and the cons, but really when you go down the cons list, it's like, it's usually a battle with our own ego, because if it doesn't work out, like really what is the worst? We have a bruised ego maybe, but at least we know, and at least we tried. And hey, if it doesn't work out, it just might not be the timing. Doesn't mean you can't try again if that's what you're supposed to be doing. Like, what is it? J.K. Rowling's got knocked back about, I don't know the numbers, I'm not gonna stuff this up, but like a billion trillion times. We'll just go with that number because I know I'll stuff up a legitimate number.
A billion trillion times.
The book even got published, you know, and if you've given up, then these stories wouldn't be out in the world. Like, people are obsessed with them. So I think, yeah, it's so important to understand, what is it really that bad? Like, what could happen? Or do we perceive it that bad because we're allowing our ego and our limiting beliefs to get in the way of really fulfilling our dream and creating the life that we desire?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I don't think I've had a situation where I've been deciding to do something that the negative side of it, or the worst thing that could happen, has really been that bad.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so much worse in our head, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
So much worse. And I guess there's a double-edged sword there. So if you keep your corporate job going, at least there's that safety net. But then some people might keep it there and then they're like, oh, well, you know, it's easy. And then when things become a little bit hard and challenges arise in business, they can be like, oh, no, that's too hard, and just stick with more of their unfulfilled path. Because there can be that sort of fear that comes up. And that's why a lot of people, they just connect and they latch onto that safety net. And, I mean, that can happen in relationships as well, right? Like where couples where they just are in this, you know, horrible relationship with each other, but they're too afraid to leave or do anything different because at least they know what that relationship is. At least they feel somewhat safe, even if it isn't safe, because they know what it is.
Yeah. But the thing is, you're not going to create your dream life doing that. So
100%. That's
where the change. And there has to be a point where you say, okay, cool, I'm going to give this a go. And it could be scary, and it will be scary. There'll absolutely be times where you'll wake up in the night and have a panic, and probably more than once. And, you know, it'll be a bit of a roller coaster. But if you want change and you want to go in the direction of, you know, this dream life that you want to create, then you have to do something, something different.
And so besides writing the pros and cons list, or asking yourself what is the worst that could actually happen, is there anything else that helped you to gain your confidence to really back yourself and pursue your passions, even in the face of uncertainty?
I'd say having the right people around you is key. So, you know, surrounding yourself with people that are going to encourage you, and surrounding yourself with people that can help equip you with the right knowledge as well. So, you know, maybe that is accounting advice or marketing advice or whatever that might be. really making sure you've got the right team around you and not having those people that are installing the fear in you saying, well, you know, what if this happens? What if that happens? So making sure, you know, if you're going into a business with a business partner, you go into business with an amazing person and, you know, making sure your friends and your family are the ones that are encouraging you and are your cheerleaders, not bringing you down. Because that's, yeah, not what you need.
That's huge, because if you've already got some self-doubts and then you confide in a well-meaning family member or friend and they're trying to protect you and they think you're a little bit crazy, that can really push those self-doubts even further up, because A, you then have no self-belief in yourself, but you're also hearing that other people don't believe in you.
So they're reinforcing what you're thinking about yourself. So no, you don't need, yeah, you need positive people around you. And, you know, and even during the process, like I had a bit of imposter syndrome maybe about a month ago, and I'm so lucky I have an amazing group of friends and family around me. And it was one of my friends that, you know, actually gave me a call a bit later and had a chat with me and was like, come on, like, think about this. And, you know, that really, you know, snapped me out of the thoughts that I was having. I was like, okay, yeah, you're right. Thank you so much. And having those people around you is, you know, they're worth their weight in gold.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. And as I mentioned at the start of the episode, you are one of us. You're an Ayurveda Alchemist alumni. So you went through the whole program to be a certified Ayurveda holistic health coach. And I know when you were opening your studio, it was at the very end of your time in the program, and you were really excited about running Ayurvedic cleansers as well for your community, which I know you've successfully done, teaching Ayurveda workshops at your retreats and things like that. So can you share a bit more about how the Ayurveda Alchemist program had played a significant role in your life's transformation, and a little bit more about how it impacted your journey and shaped the approach to creating the life that you desire?
Yeah, so completing the Ayurveda Alchemist, the information that you learn throughout it is just, it actually is life-changing. Like, I learned a lot about myself during that time, and one of the main things that stuck out with me was, you know, when we did the module on like limiting core beliefs and that really helped me, encouraged me to give me the push to actually go down and, you know, take this pathway of opening the yoga studio and, you know, going with it. So yeah, learning all that, and then, and also learning about your routines and your habits and how that can actually really help to change and shape your life is so key. So all of that personally was amazing. To me, the program and your Ayurveda and learning about it just makes so much sense. It's simple and it makes so much sense. So running the cleansers with people in the studio and doing workshops is, you see people when you're talking through it and they have these light bulb moments, and you can see how it's actually going to change them long term. This isn't just a short term quick fix to, you know, help repair things in your life or your health or, you know, whatever it might be. This is actually, you know, long-term solutions. And so running the cleansers, it's so fulfilling, because the results that I see from clients is unbelievable. And the thing is that it's in all aspects of their life and everyone's different. So we'll run the cleanse, which we run them for 7 days. And the outcomes that people have can be so different from one person to the next. It could be, you know, sleep issues, digestion issues, energy, you know, healthy weight management, whatever it might be, foggy brain. And so many people are having these amazing results, but in so many different ways. So it's really encouraging and really inspiring to be able to help people learn this. And I've seen how it's helped my life personally. And so to be able to help people with that, it's just, yeah, it's amazing. And even if you wanted to do it just to learn more about it, which is the reason I did it for. And yeah, now look.
I know you always take it just that one extra step.
Yeah.
And I love, because Ayurveda is all about that mind, body, soul connection. It's a really holistic health science. It's not just, you know, one path. So it can affect people on so many different levels. And I think what's so beautiful about our community and the Ayurveda Alchemist program is that we really nurture each other through the process, and everyone has such a great, deep self-development journey throughout the program, but we also offer that business support and business mentorship as well as part of the program. So we help everyone come up with their own methods, their own methodology, and their own business model, which looks completely different. Even if everybody is certified as an Ayurveda holistic health coach, their businesses are so different because Ayurveda really connects to so much of life and nature. And that's why it's important to have your own unique skills. Like even Emma, you brought in accounting skills that I'm sure has become, undeniably amazing in the business that you're running now. So I'm so proud of you for everything that you have done. And you did mention one of the things that it taught you was to really solidify a beautiful routine to help with your success. Yeah. So can you share with us a little bit of what a successful routine looks like for you, or a routine, your routine that helps you become the successful person that you are today?
Yeah. So I have a morning and an evening routine, Dhinacharya, we call it an Ayurveda. And so my morning routine involves waking up before 6 a.m. So depending on what yoga class I'm going to, depends on what time I wake up, but you're waking up before 6 a.m, which I do now on the weekends as well, which past life didn't do this at all, love to sleep in. But so waking up before 6 a.m, you're actually fine because of the circadian rhythms, I have so much more energy and, tend to bounce out of bed a lot easier. As soon as I wake up, I sit up and I'll meditate for, depending on what time I have, but generally maybe about 10 minutes, get up, go to the bathroom, scrape my tongue, life-changing. So one who I do the cleanse with, this is one thing that everyone continues with. So brushing my teeth, scraping the tongue, you just feel so refreshed, removing all those toxins from your mouth. And it's definitely life-changing, that one. And then I'll come and I'll have a drink of hot water or tea. That I'll generally take with me, and that helps with hydration, the warm water being able to absorb into your body. It's much better than smashing cold water and locking everything up. I go to yoga in the morning, so moving my body. If it's not yoga, then a walk or something like that, but moving my body. And then after I do that, I like to treat myself with going out for a tea or whatever it might be. So and that's just doing that in the morning as well, giving that time back to myself really sets me up for my day. And I don't feel like, when I used to live in England, I would wake up, I'd have to be at work, say at 8, I would literally wake up at 7:30. I would be, put myself into my sympathetic nervous system, be in that stress state, quickly shower, put my clothes on because I snooze my alarm twice, grab a cold smoothie, which isn't going to help with my digestion, drink it, not mindfully in the car on the way to work. And I'm just putting myself in that stress state. So starting the day in the opposite way, the rest and digest parasympathetic nervous system, just sets you up for the day and, it keeps me calm and, really clear and focused, which is great. And then evenings, having dim lights. So throughout the house, so that helps to increase melatonin levels, which is key for sleep. And it's also a precursor for serotonin, the happy hormone. So making sure the lights are low, not having electronic devices around, reading usually before I go to bed and lights off and trying to be asleep before 10 is key. And, obviously life happens and you'll have different events and things on, so you can't do this every day, but I think it's what you do most of the time that matters, not all of the time. But
absolutely, and it is so life-changing. Our routines sound very similar, and such a difference. I mean, I have to drop kids to school and all of that in there, but it's pretty much exactly the same, and it just has made such a huge difference. Because I used to be a real insomniac back in the day, and I hated sleep because I would be like, oh, it's such a waste of time, I don't want to go to sleep because it's always hard to go to sleep. And now I come 9:30, I am in bed, I am asleep, I love sleeping, I get a good rested night, and my body clock wakes up at 5 a.m or just before 5 a.m every morning. Same thing.
Sleep hygiene's key, and good sleep is just crucial.
Yeah. And routine, daily routine, it really helps with that, because we are part of nature. We're not separate from nature, but our modern lives introducing electricity, which, you know, has its positives and is great, but it also has impacted our hormonal shifts and our natural circadian rhythm. So when we can get our bodies into a state of routine and balance, it feels safe and our hormones can be more regulated, including our sleep hormones, our awake hormones, our sex hormones, all of the hormones, and we just have a much better sleep-wake cycle.
Yeah, okay.
So I want to ask you a little bit more about this Lululemon ambassadorship, because it's, well, at time of recording, it's quite new, not when the podcast episode actually comes out, but it's such a remarkable milestone for you. And I loved how you said at the start that you had applied for an accounting job with Lululemon 10 years ago and unfortunately missed out, but now you're an ambassador. So how did this opportunity come about and what does it mean to you in terms of your journey towards creating the life you desire?
Yeah. So I met some of the team at the Gold Coast Lulu, probably, I think it was about last Christmas time. We did a collaboration with Lulu and the Hilton, where we taught yoga at the Hilton for 2 mornings a week over the summer period, which was great. And so went into Lulu and met some of the team there and just really got along with them. They subsequently invited me to a planning session where there was about 40 people doing similar things within the local community, some really amazing people that, you know, have opened gyms, ice baths, running breath work, really cool things in the health and wellness space. So we did this planning session. We had a Pilates class, we did ice baths, wrote down some goals, and they walked us through this planning session, which Lulu does in the community now. It used to be just with their team members, which is absolutely amazing. It's really cool. And then from that, they asked me into the store a few weeks later and had a coffee, and they asked me to be the yoga ambassador. I couldn't believe it at all. It's just such a dream, and I've loved Lulu for such a long time. And that's why I was applying for jobs when I was in England at the first London store that they had there about 10 years ago. I love the product, but I loved also the values and the things that Lululemon do in the community, and it's really amazing. So it still feels, I'm so excited about it, and I'm so honored to be asked, and yeah, just an amazing experience. So if people don't know, most of the stores, they have 3 ambassadors. They have one for yoga, one for training, and one for running. They don't really have much of a marketing budget. They use the ambassadors to, promote Lulu within the community, but to build that community and educate people around health and wellness and around Lulu as well. And their products are just phenomenal. The quality of them, the R&D that goes into it, and the fabrics that they've produced, that's theirs, it's amazing. I feel like as soon as you buy a pair of Lululemon leggings, you don't get any others.
True. I love my Lulu.
Yeah, they're so good. But yeah, so working with them now as investor, I'll be doing events with them in the community. I'm also looking at hosting a few events. So watch this space. There'll be a few cool things coming about. And yeah, looking at doing some events for charity. So yeah, and getting more people, like my aim for it is I just want more people doing yoga because the benefits that it has, that it's had on my life and, you know, my friends that do yoga as well, has just been phenomenal. And especially for mental health and, you know, overall wellness, it's incredible. So, you know, if I can use this time being Lululemon ambassador to help spread that throughout the community, I'll feel very happy at the end of this year.
Yeah, amazing. I'm so, so excited for you. It's just been like a whirlwind 12 months, but a perfect 12 months. Like, it's just beautiful going from, you weren't even really teaching yoga, but you'd done some yoga teacher training, and then you started the Ayurveda Alchemist program. I mean, you actually started off as one of my clients, didn't you? That's how we met.
I did. Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, I want to learn more about Ayurveda. I'm like, join the Ayurveda Alchemist.
And do you remember, Harmony, the book that you gave to me, and you said, oh, this is our textbook, one of them.
Yeah.
And I looked, and I was like, I've got that at home. I bought that when I was living in England, probably 10 or 8, 9 years ago, which again, is just so bizarre.
another seed planted. It just was the timing. It was waiting for you for 10 years for you to actually open it and make it something of your life.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Yeah. There's all these like serendipitous moments that happen in life. And at the time we just sort of, you know, flog them off, whatever. Yeah. I got that book. It was a waste of money. I never read it. And then 10 years later, you, you know, reading the book is one of your recommended reading materials. You have graduated as an Ayurveda holistic health coach. You've just opened a yoga studio. You're now teaching yoga, which you never dreamt of doing. You're running retreats in Bali and South America, and a Lululemon ambassador. And it's like all those little seeds planted over like a period of your lifetime all just bloomed and combusted in 12 months, and you're like, here I am, people. And I think it's also important to note, like, you know, whilst all that did just sort of boom within 12 month period, it is really important to remember that there were those little seeds planted all along your life's journey, because there's no such thing really as an overnight success. Things have happened in our life to get us to this point. And there's a lot of mindset shifts that have to happen. And even when you're in the position you're in now, where it feels like everything's opening up, it feels like you're really living on purpose, you're creating the life you desire, there's still fears that can be associated with that. So I would, for one of our final questions, I would really like to talk about the mindset piece and the mindset piece moving forward into success, because we can have this fear of failure, and a lot of people have that, but a lot of people don't realize they have a fear of success because they think it's maybe that they're not going to have enough time. Maybe people are going to think that, you know, expect too much of them, or people think that they've changed, they've become a different person. There's so many reasons why people can fear that success.
Yeah.
And we talk about this a lot in like the Ayurvedic psychology and limiting core beliefs and really understanding where your limitations are coming from and how can you keep moving through seamlessly through the karmic path of success. So I'd love for you to tell us how do you keep your mindset strong, and what are some things that you do to cultivate a success mindset?
I've done a couple of Vipassanas, the 10-day silent meditation retreats, and which is an absolute journey. And they teach you this concept of impermanence. And I hold that close to my heart. And I always consider that theory when I'm looking at, you know, anything that I'm doing. So, you know, say you're going down a pathway and you're going to start, let's say, open a yoga studio or whatever, and you're having these moments where you're feeling the fear and it doesn't feel right and you're going to pull out, is knowing that these are just feelings and these feelings aren't permanent and they will pass. So I think it's so important to know that, sit with it for a while, don't make any rash decisions, you know, go for a walk, you know, even give it a few days, maybe journal about it before you make any big decisions and pull out. Because sometimes, you know, you might've had a bad sleep and so you're feeling tired and there's been a couple of other things that have happened in your day. And then all of a sudden this fear comes in and it's because you're not feeling maybe totally mentally or emotionally stable that day. That doesn't mean that the path you're going down is a bad decision. It just means you're feeling a certain way in that moment. So I think realizing that our feelings, our emotions, like everything is impermanent, sit with it for a bit, you know, reflect on it, have conversations with people, the right people, if that helps, and then move forward without, but yeah, before making any crazy decisions or, you know, scaring yourself out of it.
Perfect. So to wrap it up, Em, could you please share your top piece of advice or wisdom to our listeners, and especially for those who are seeking to create the life that they truly desire, where do they start? Like, what is this one little pearl of wisdom you want to embark on them all?
Yeah, I think just, you literally, you're here for in this life for one time, like, why not just give it a go? And, you know, start to really connect with your body and notice what feels good when you're doing certain things, and then just go from there. But you've got one life, one opportunity. Just what's the worst that can happen? Just do it. Try it.
Absolutely. I think that connecting back into your body is so important, and to ask yourself daily, like, how do I feel today? And how do I feel when I'm doing this? And how, if I'm not feeling amazing, what can shift? How can I either A, accept it, B, find a little bit more joy within the task or activity, or C, shift it completely, like get rid of it. And sometimes there's going to be things in life, we have to be realistic, that aren't joyful to do. Like, you know, I don't particularly love cooking and cleaning and washing up and all of those type of things, but I will sometimes use them as a meditative practice so that I'm focusing on my breath. So I'm doing some breath work as I'm doing those tasks. Yeah. I'll listen to a podcast. I will share the duties with my family and we can chat while we're doing it. I'll listen to some beautiful music, dance around the kitchen as I'm doing it. Recently, I've had some disasters where I've blown up some food unintentionally, but, you know, oh my gosh. Yeah, don't ever try to cook khichdi in a rice cooker, guys. It doesn't work. I thought I was going to
speak up. What is it? It doesn't work.
Oh, it's so bad. Oh. But yeah, I think it's, if we can't find ways to shift our emotional standpoint in that time, so how we really feel, then at least just accept that we have to do it. And at very least, just have that as part of it, as our acceptance, because acceptance is still a higher vibration than feeling crappy about it or procrastinating about it, whatever that may be.
Absolutely. And there's basic needs that you need to fulfill, right? So, like, you know, your food, your shelter, you know, warmth. And it's like, okay, well, maybe you need to still be doing this mundane job for a while that doesn't fulfill you, but, you know, you're working towards something bigger, so keep that in mind. And, you know, maybe you need to reframe things that don't feel so positive in your life, but know that you're still taking steps in the right direction. And often then those things that you don't necessarily like so much, they're not that bad because you're seeing them as something different and you know you're working towards something bigger and better.
Exactly. And when we talk about being on a dharmic path, like, dharma means just showing up in that moment, no matter what it is, with the right intentions and right actions. So if you show up to household duties with the right intention and doing it within the right way and having this, you know, right feeling about it, oh, I'm doing this for myself and my family, and I appreciate that we can eat clean, beautiful food and we have abundance of food, then you are on your dharmic path right then and there. You don't have to be doing some grand big thing that's saving the world. Your dharmic path is just showing up in each moment as your higher self, or as best you can. And the reality is, we're humans, we have emotions. That's not going to happen all of the time, but then you can reflect on that and you can learn from that. As a human, we're constantly learning, we're constantly growing, and that's what we're here for. So
looking at that, say the thing that you don't necessarily like, the household task or maybe the 9-to-5 job, and looking at the positives that it gives you, like, you know, it gives you a solid income, which means that you can eat and you have shelter, which, you know, is a lot more than a lot of people in this world have. So seeing those positives, well, instead of just looking at like, oh, I hate doing that, and having this negative energy going into it, like, look at the positives that come from it.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, I definitely had to do that when I was really trying to transition from my nursing career. Just being so grateful when I could show up so grateful for my job, the job actually became more enjoyable. That's because your vibration really attracts that same vibration. So if you are vibrating joy, then you are going to attract more joy into your life, even if it's in something that you didn't find so much joy in. And I love, you know, when we speak about tapping into the body, often we can be so scattered and so out of our body and out of our mind all the time, because society and you know, the way we live is just constantly pulling our senses outwards. But what we say in Ayurveda and even yoga, like, we practice this pratyahara, which is bringing those senses inwards, and we don't do that enough. But when we can stop and be within ourselves and say, how are we feeling, and really connecting to what lights us up, it is such a beautiful tool. Because even if you start, you know, creating this life you desire, and you think that it's going to be this, you know, you have this vision of this one goal for yourself, But after doing it for a few years, maybe that feeling slightly shifts, and that's okay. That's absolutely okay. And I'm going through that at the moment within my own business, is what's really resonating? Where am I showing up? Where do I show up with just love and compassion? And where am I like, oh, I couldn't do this? Like, you know, and I'm noticing that, and just making those shifts it can be challenging and it can be hard, but on the other side, there's just so much more lightness and so much more joy. And you just show up with so much more authenticity because you're really, really tapping into your higher self. So thank you so much, Emma, for coming along today and sharing your story and your wisdom. Where can our listeners find you, or if they want to catch a yoga or Pilates class at Balance?
Yeah, so the studio is 87 Griffith Street in Coolangatta. So we would love to have everyone come on in. And you can check all the information, the times, at www.balanceyogastudios.com, or our Instagram is balanceyogastudios.
Beautiful. And I will put those links in the show notes. And I also wanted to invite everybody who is either listening or watching to a free training I have available. And if this is for personal health seekers or health and wellness professionals who really want to know how to optimize their health and their hormones and be able to step into their higher self and optimize their business through the process. And so this training, I will put the link in the show notes if you're listening to the podcast. I'll also put the link in the comments if you're watching this live from the Ayurveda and Women's Health Sisterhood. It's a 5-part mini series. So they're just short little videos going through the whole process of my proprietary methodology, the higher self methodology, that helps you really step into your higher self, going through 3 pillars, which is health alchemy. And then we have pillar 2 is the empowered mind paradigm, looking at Ayurvedic psychology and limiting beliefs. And the 3rd pillar is dharmic impact, where you can really step into your purpose, whether that's within your personal health desires or whether that is within your business. But how can you create this dharmic impact through purpose-driven changes? So I will pop those links in the show notes or the comments below. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening and joining us. I hope you enjoyed the episode. If you did, we would love for you to take a little selfie, share it on your Instagram. Please tag us, Balance Yoga Studios, Harmony Inspired Ayurveda, or Harmony Inspired Health Podcast. And I look forward to chatting to you next time. Oh, and if you really loved it, you can go and give us a 5-star review. Thank you. If you missed the intro and jumped straight to the episode, don't forget that my Ayurveda Alchemist program is open for enrollment via application. This program certifies you as an Ayurveda lifestyle and wellness coach and will help you up-level your health and wellness business. You'll gain access to the ancient wisdom of Ayurveda and graduate with a knowledge of how to incorporate this timeless wisdom and holistic framework into your business so that you can create greater impact and boldly step into the high-level practitioner you know you can be. If you are ready to up-level your life and help transform the life of others by becoming an Ayurveda alchemist, head over to harmonyinspiredhealth.com.au and apply today. Thank you so much for listening to this episode and staying right to the end. Let's take our relationship a little further and connect in the world of socials. Follow me personally on Instagram at harmony.inspired.ayurveda. My women's health clinic on Instagram is harmony_inspired_health. Or join our Facebook community, the Ayurvedic Soul Sister Tribe. Reach out on any of those channels and let me know if you enjoyed the episode, what type of episodes you would like to hear more of in the future, or simply just swing by and say hi. And don't forget to subscribe so that you don't miss an episode. And if you listen on iTunes, please give us a 5-star rating so the wisdom shared in these episodes can be spread far and near. Thank you so much, my friends, from my soul to yours.